to my podcast, Your Gut Health Puzzle Made Simple. I'm your host, Prajakta, and this podcast will help you uncover the root causes to your gut issues, help you heal and nurture your gut through the healing power of nutrition and healthy lifestyle modifications. I will be sharing quick and easy tips that you can implement right away to solve your gut health puzzle. Hey, welcome back to another episode. I'm a registered dietitian, founder and CEO of Right Nutrition Works, and I'm so glad you have joined me today. In today's episode, we will uncover the mystery behind gluten sensitivity and why it seems to be affecting an increasing number of individuals in recent times. From the very basics of gluten to the complex interplay of gut health and modern wheat, we will explore the multifaceted factors contributing to this puzzling occurrence. Did you know that gluten sensitivity is on the rise? Recent studies show a staggering increase in reported cases over the past few decades. But what exactly is behind this surge? Why are more and more individuals experiencing discomfort after consuming gluten-containing foods? Gluten is a mix of hundreds of related but distinct proteins, primarily gliadin and glutenin. The word is Latin and means glue. Gluten is the protein that is found primarily in wheat, barley, and rye. Gliadin gives bread the ability to rise during baking, whereas glutenin gives dough its elasticity. Altogether, gluten gives bread, pasta, and other starches that delicious, chewy mouthfeel that can make eating it so pleasurable and for some people even addictive. On average, people eat about 5 to 20 grams of gluten every day in the form of bread, cookies, crackers, pasta, and other starchy and grain-based foods. About 80% of the protein in bread, wheat, is gluten. And while pasta has a little less gluten, it is still a common source of gluten. Additional sources of gluten are bulgur, couscous, farro, orzo, spelt, wheat bran. On the other hand, common gluten-free grains are amaranth, sorghum, millet, rice, quinoa, and teff. Oats are one grain that are naturally gluten-free but are frequently contaminated with gluten during processing and must be labeled certified gluten-free to confirm that they are 100% gluten-free. Gluten also hides in other foods and drinks such as imitation meats, beer, soy sauce, and even ice cream and ketchup can contain gluten as stabilizing agents. Simply avoiding bread does not mean you are eating a gluten-free diet. Gluten is found in hundreds of other foods. Few other common sources of gluten, unless labeled gluten-free, are cereals, granola, croutons, caramel color, processed lunch meats, soups, seasonings or spice blends, modified food starch, and vegetarian meat substitutes. In order to ensure that the foods listed above were prepared 100% gluten-free, a person avoiding gluten needs to carefully read labels and ingredient list and ask questions when eating out. One of the best things to look for when purchasing gluten-free foods is a certified gluten-free label that ensures that the food contains less than 20 parts per million. Next, I would like to talk about three different phases of gluten reactivity. Celiac disease was first identified in early 1900s. Multiple diets were used to treat celiac disease until 1953. Then the English medical team shared results of studies showing how celiac disease patients improved when wheat and rye flour was removed from their diets. Gluten, the protein that is found in wheat, barley, and rye, was later pinpointed as the exact trigger of celiac disease. For people with celiac disease, the mucosa, which is the lining of your small intestine, gets damaged. This causes inflammation of the villi. This is referred to as villous atrophy. Now, villi are the finger-like projections that help with the nutrient absorption. So when these villi are inflamed, they are flattened, the nutrient absorption does not happen. As a result of this inflammation, the surface area of your small intestine, which enables the absorption of nutrients, minerals, is seriously reduced. Those diagnosed with celiac disease need to follow 100% gluten-free diet for life in order to reverse and prevent the further damage. About 1% of the population has this condition, but it has been estimated that about 2.5 million Americans are undiagnosed. Undiagnosed or untreated celiac disease can lead to long-term health conditions such as iron deficiency anemia, early onset of osteoporosis, infertility, pancreatic insufficiency, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, and more. The most common GI symptoms for people with celiac disease are diarrhea and abdominal pain. A second gluten-related condition is a wheat allergy, where the body responds to wheat proteins with antibodies called immunoglobulin E or IgE. Many symptoms overlap with celiac disease, including bloating, diarrhea, and cramping. Whenever people with wheat allergy eat gluten-containing foods. Just like celiac disease, those with wheat allergy need to avoid gluten 100%. The third type of gluten reaction that is perhaps more common is non-celiac gluten sensitivity. This means that you do not have a celiac disease, you do not have a wheat allergy, but you do experience adverse physiological changes after gluten consumption that manifest in intestinal and extra-intestinal symptoms. Non-celiac gluten sensitivity is confirmed by gluten withdrawal and IgG food sensitivity testing. When someone with non-celiac gluten sensitivity takes gluten out of their diet, their symptoms improve, but manifest again shortly after gluten consumption. There is great overlap in symptoms between non-celiac gluten sensitivity and other functional gastrointestinal disorders. And for this type of gluten reaction, eliminating gluten from your diet is the only option to control your symptoms. Gluten is getting a lot of heat all around the world. It seems like everyone is talking about the possible negative effects it can have on our health. Can you believe that around 30% of Americans are now actively trying to cut down on gluten consumption? That's crazy, right? But why is this happening all of a sudden? Back in the days, most folks didn't even know what gluten was. Everywhere we look now, the words gluten-free come up in restaurants, cafes, and on many food products and food packaging. I have identified a few possible contributing factors why this may be happening and why gluten-related issues are on the rise. Number one, newer wheat varieties, such as the dwarf wheat, have a higher gluten content to improve the consistency and sponginess of baked goods. Number 2. Gluten acts as a natural insecticide, so farmers favor higher gluten varieties, which are more likely to cause health problems. Number 3. Higher consumption over the years of wheat-based products. Number 4. Lack of traditional preparations. Back in the good old days, our ancestors knew a thing or two about getting the most out of grains. They would soak, ferment, and sprout those grains, which worked like magic. You see, these traditional preparations actually reduce the lectin content and other pesky anti-nutrients in the grains, making them much easier for digestion. Plus, it unlocked the nutrients, making them more bioavailable for our bodies to absorb. No wonder they had fewer digestive issues back then. Modern baking practices have shortened the bread leavening, which potentially means increased exposure to gluten. Today's bread is produced of crossbreeding and genetic manipulation that began in 1960s to create a higher yielding, lower cost crop. Modern wheat has also been bleached and heavily processed. Specific nutrients in wheat, such as zinc, copper, iron, and magnesium, have decreased significantly since mid-1960s due to farming practices, but also the quality of the wheat overall. Number 5. The newer breeds of wheat have a higher content of gliadin, which is a type of gluten. And this type of gluten is the most associated with various health problems. Another trigger for why people consuming gluten are experiencing more and more GI symptoms may also stem from the high use of the glyphosate. Most wheat today is routinely sprayed with glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup and most widely used herbicide, increasing its yield. This practice is commonly referred to as crop desiccation. Researchers have found that 80 to 90% of popular wheat-based foods are contaminated with glyphosate. Similarly, the Environmental Working Group examined 5 samples of dried pasta and 7 samples of cereals, and all of them contain glyphosate. Researchers in one study proposed that glyphosate is the most important factor for gluten intolerance. The study found out that fish that is exposed to glyphosate develop digestive problems that resembles celiac disease. Glyphosate is believed to contribute to negative changes in the gut microbiome, leading to dysbiosis. All this can create nutrient deficiencies and can be a contributing factor to leaky gut. When you eat gluten, the body creates zonulin. This protein regulates the permeability of tight junctions between cells of the gut wall. Over time, eating gluten and releasing zonulin can open up the tight junctions between the intestinal cells. Think of a gut wall as a cheesecloth, where only the smallest particles should pass. Zonulin makes the holes of the cheesecloth bigger, so the bigger particles and unwanted substances that shouldn't slip through the gut wall, they do. Leaky gut can eventually create inflammation throughout the body and lead to autoimmune disorders. In fact, excess zonulin production occurs when many autoimmune diseases and during the flare-ups of celiac disease. You don't have to have celiac disease for gluten to trigger the release of zonulin and increase intestinal permeability. Over time, gut inflammation can eventually become systemic inflammation as the immune system stays activated and food particles lodge into distant tissues such as joints. Now, as we come to the end of this podcast episode, I would like to put the pieces together. The rise in gluten sensitivity becomes a multifaceted puzzle. Factors such as genetic predisposition, weight changes, gut health, and dietary habits all play a role. With this newfound understanding, we can make informed choices about our diets and embrace healthier lifestyles. If you are suffering and struggling with digestive issues, if you have been to multiple doctors already and still looking for answers to your gut problems, or if you are new in your gut healing journey and unsure how and where to start, I have a great free resource available for you. I have created a comprehensive guide for you called Fix Your Gut that you can download today. This guide provides you a step-by-step framework to start your gut healing journey on the right path. Go to rightnutritionworks.com/fixyourgut-free-guide to download your free copy. I'm going to put this link in the show notes for your reference as well. Thank you for joining me on this podcast. If you are enjoying the information that I am sharing, please subscribe and share it with your loved ones. Stay tuned for future episodes where we will continue to solve the gut health puzzle. Until next time, take care of your gut and it will take care of you. Bye for now.